You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siyam Nisiyam Nisiyaya, Anthas Yakhliya, Talit Sin, Kho Musqueam Asteo. Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is your favorite show, Fan Club. I'm Isia. I'm with my trusted co-host,
Daniel. Hello. Hope everyone's doing amazing.
And we have a special guest today. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hello. I'm Samika, the Indian correspondent for today's episode.
Woot woot.
Yeah. Samika.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah.
Even our pre-show conversation has gotten me very excited for this discussion today, and we're going to be talking about the Oscars that happened this past Sunday. Lots of opinions, probably some opposing opinions, which always makes for good radio. So what were your expectations going in to the Oscars? Were you feeling optimistic? Were you worried?
I mean, I can go first. I feel like I was a bit optimistic because it seemed like last year and maybe even the year before they were really trying to make the Oscars happen. Like, they were trying to make it be a thing that like everybody tunes in to watch, and I feel like because of that they were like cutting categories, they were trying to make the show shorter, they were trying to add a bunch of stuff to it. And I feel like this year they kind of realized like less and less people are just going to continue watching the Oscars. And, like, the people who love watching the Oscars love the Oscars for what it is, which is, like, being too long, being too expensive, and watching a bunch of, like, celebrities and actors, like, accept awards and see, like, cinema celebrated. So I feel like this year they kind of, like, communicated that they understood that a little bit more by, like, putting back in all the categories, putting back in a very like vanilla host, and kind of having all these like performances for the different original songs. So I was like, okay, I feel like the Oscars is going to be pretty like back to basics, whatever. So I guess I was pretty optimistic going in.
Yeah. I was kind of not optimistic, because I feel like the Oscars have disappointed me before, but this year, prior to the Oscars, we have like the Golden Globes and the other awards, and all the wins out there kind of made me optimistic for the Oscars, because that's kind of like a precursor for what we're gonna see for the wins. Was kind of skeptical about Jimmy Kimmel hosting, but honestly, it kind of
I didn't mind him.
I didn't mind him. No. He was better than I expected. Still a little annoying, and definitely had his annoying moments, but definitely better than what I expected.
I mean, that's to be expected of any old white man.
Oh, definitely.
He's not old.
He's older.
He's like young for Hollywood standards, that is I feel true. Like, true. In that's the comment, you know.
Sorry, Jimmy.
But he is, you know, he's Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. What did you think of Jimmy Kimmel, Isia?
I thought his monologue was fine. I think the Will Smith jokes are tired.
Repetitive.
So
unless you're making fun of Chris Rock, then they're not tired.
New direction.
And I really appreciated Andrew Garfield for not going with the bit.
I love that moment.
That was really funny.
So shout out to Andrew. Also, when Michelle Yeoh did that little hand thing, literally, I rewinded it like 8 times.
Like, oh, so cute.
So graceful. Yeah. So beautiful. I love everyone in the studio at the same time. Try to replicate her hand movement. She's iconic anyways. Going into it, I'm always pessimistic because the Oscars, I don't know, just the voters are so silly sometimes. But I do think I agree with you, the precursors were looking good. And not to get into the thick of it too soon, but I do think all the precursor events were a lot more balanced than the Oscars.
That is true.
So I thought that the Oscars would maybe reflect the balance that like the Golden Globes and the BAFTAs and the SAG Awards
in terms of like who won more balanced.
I feel like different people won in all those, but like all good.
There weren't any, I mean, I'm trying to think,
mostly good.
There weren't any wins that I thought were like egregious. I was like,
that's true.
Well, Well, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
Yeah. So I was kind of optimistic a little bit, but, you know, the Oscar is Oscar, so
yeah,
you never know.
You never know. Mm-hmm. Should we get into, like, category by category?
Yeah, we're just going to go through the whole thing and see where it takes us. So what should we start off on, you think?
The first thing on my list is Best Picture. I don't know if we want to start there.
Should we end with that?
Should we end with it?
I think we should end with Best Picture. Or at least do it later in the night. Night?
Lengthy. Hour.
Yeah.
Okay, the bottom of my list is Best Costume Design.
Okay. I can start. Well, okay, I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about costume design on, like, a technical level. Shout out to Mina Lee, a YouTuber I really like. She did a pretty good breakdown of everything and, like, all the references people kind of took to create their characters. And I think it was cool that Ruth Carter won. There was just, like, so much care that went into designing the costumes for Black Panther. And apparently she had to, like, figure out how to make a lot of the costumes waterproof for this movie because they're going to be in water. So that was, like, a very specific challenge she had that is pretty interesting. And she also said something interesting about how a lot of contemporary movies don't get a lot of acknowledgement. It's always, like, period pieces.
Right.
So it was cool that Everything Everywhere All at Once got nominated just because you don't really see, like, contemporary movies with that aren't, like, biopics or anything.
That's true, yeah.
Getting represented because people just don't respect them as much because they're not, like, imitating anything that's existed before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was really happy, like, Wakanda Forever won. But to your point, I did kind of appreciate the nomination for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, I'm glad it didn't win Best Costume Design, but I appreciated the nomination because I feel like thinking about that movie, like, so many of the, like, outfits that the characters are wearing are, like, so iconic. Like, obviously, like, Jobu Tapaki, like, Stephanie Hsu's character, but also just, like, Michelle Yao and, like, Ki-Hu Kwan and, like, even...
Last time we talked about it.
Okay.
Yes.
Apologies, Michelle. Please don't beat me up.
Yeah.
But because all the costumes in that movie are, like, so iconic, and when I, like, close my eyes, I can instantly see them in my head, and it is contemporary, which I thought was cool.
And there are so many different costumes as well because they kept going, like, time frame to time frame in different universes, and I feel like every costume had some, like, distinct iconic thing about them, like the sausage fingers, the bagel hairstyle thing, the sucked into the bagel hairstyle, like, everything was so well thought out. But I completely agree with Black Panther winning because, as you said, the challenges that come with making, like, putting in the work to make the waterproof costumes. It's more about, like, it's also, like, I think it's more about how the technicalities as well as, like, not only how it looks aesthetically, but also, yeah, just, like...
Like, how it functions.
Yeah,
definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Ruth Carter is the first, I think, first Black woman to win two Oscars in the same category, which is kind of... insane.
Sad, but
boo
insane,
Oscars.
But good for
I'm not
her.
Giving them anything. Yeah. They suck.
Truly.
But good for her. Good and for she's her. Also just, like, the only Black person to win in the category. So good for her.
Good for her.
And she's done a lot. She's worked on a lot of, like, pretty iconic movies that I can't name right now. But she's been in the business. So
she's a queen.
She's getting her recognition, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And one thing I am just thinking about, I saw this. Someone say that if you want to predict who wins an Oscar, just replace most of the category names, like, replace best with most, and they'll just win. Editing.
That's why, like, Bohemian Rhapsody or something
they
won
had
that
them.
1 year.
Yeah, it's like most editing. It was, like, visibly bad editing. So I wonder how often, like, you know, simple, understated design.
Because,
you know, there's a lot going on in Black Panther. There's a lot going on in Everything Everywhere All at Once. So it's very, like, flashy, and it's, like, easy to be like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, you know.
That is true.
It's true.
But this all comes from an uneducated place because I don't know anything.
No, I think that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Should we move on to best makeup and hairstyling?
Yeah.
The winner of that was The Whale. How do we feel about that?
Okay. I have not seen the movie, so I take everything I say with a grain of salt. But what I've seen of the trailer and, like, clips, he doesn't, I don't know, makeup doesn't look Like, it looks like makeup. I don't know. It looks like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't... he doesn't look like himself.
I mean, it's like nothing that hasn't been done before. Yeah. I feel like it wasn't anything unique, personally. And I love the movie. I just didn't think, even for a second, like, the first thing when I watched the movie wasn't like, oh, the makeup is crazy.
Amazing prosthetics.
Yeah, that is not really what I thought. Just, yeah. Because, I mean, I've seen, like, prosthetics like these in other movies before. So it's, like, nothing unique at all. And the fact that they won kind of made me go,
And the main, like, makeup hairstyling is literally just, like, Brendan Fraser. Like,
exactly. That is true. Yeah. That it's only him sitting on the couch. Well, yeah, that's the point.
Couch, bed, shower.
Mm-hmm. Also, in the speech, she said, she referred to his character as the whale. Like, that's not, like, you know, isn't, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it just kind of indicates a little bit about this movie. Yeah. And, like, I don't know.
So who do you think should have won from the nominees?
I mean, again, this is not something that I, like, have a lot of, I don't know, deep thought on. Mm-hmm. And it's like all these movies are just things with a lot going on.
Yeah.
But Colin Farrell in The Batman, I, like, completely forgot that it was him, and every time
I
remember
it
was him.
Until now.
The Penguin, I'm always like, oh yeah, that's Colin Farrell, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. So that would have been my pick.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know.
What about you, Daniel?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I feel like Wakanda Forever again for me, just because I remember watching that movie and I'm like, oh my god, everything about, like, how everybody looks, like, all the characters look, mm-hmm. is so, like, intricate and intentional.
Definitely.
So I feel like a lot of detail and care went into that. But then that also, like, brings to mind what you said, Isia. Like, it was kind of just, like, most makeup and hairstyling. Mm-hmm. And then I also liked the Batman, partially because of the Penguin. And then also, like, everybody in that movie is just so hot. So it's like,
yeah, but they don't have to work for
that.
That
pretty
Robert Pattinson, Zoe, like, they just have to show up and
honestly.
You know. But true. I like that thing. I really liked about Batman is for the first time they acknowledge the fact that the guy is wearing eyeshadow to, like, camouflage into a suit,
which they didn't do in the other ones.
Yeah, in every other movie, they're wearing, obviously there's, like, black stuff around their eyes so that when they put the suit on, it's, like, all black. But then they take off their mask and magically their face is clean. But this is the first time where they're like, yeah, the man has to put on some eyeshadow to get in disguise.
Yeah,
so I like the realism of that.
Yeah. Didn't even think about that. But yeah, good point.
So shout out to them.
Shout out to them. Next I have Best Sound. And that went to Top Gun Maverick.
I was unsure about what best sound even meant.
Like sound design, mixing.
And it used to be two separate categories, but I think they combined
What was it? Design and mixing? Or?
Yeah, I think it was design and mixing.
I honestly... Okay, I'm sorry. We're starting with all the categories that I am... I'm like...
Yeah, no, me too. But yeah, Top Gun... I just saw it was a bunch of planes flying in the air, and that was a sound. What was
that's a lot to mix, I guess. Yeah. I mean, Elvis, like, because I think he was,
like, was
performing
musical,
live
in
some of the clips, then that's, like, pretty hard to pull off.
Exactly. I thought Elvis would have won, personally.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of, like, war-adjacent things always win just because sound is such a big part of
those
movies.
That is true.
And Dunkirk... They did that. They deserved that award. I don't know if they won it, but they should have gotten it. Because that was the only time where I was like, wow, the sound of this movie is really crazy.
Good. Yeah.
But I don't know about
Top Gun. Into Babylon too quickly, but I do think Babylon was kind of snubbed for a nomination. Because I feel like the sound played such a significant role in that movie. But I don't know. I feel like I don't feel super strongly about this category.
Me neither.
I guess if I'm thinking about when I watched Top Gun in the theater, which was where I most enjoyed watching that movie... The sound of the planes whizzing and flying by was definitely a big part of my enjoyment.
That is true.
Yeah. But now all I can think about is most, like, after you brought that up.
It truly, like, just add most to it and people are impressed. Because it's like, you know, it's just normal people, like, it's just industry people voting on all of this. Like, some people don't even watch all the movies.
Yeah, that's true.
They just, like, guess. Some people don't even understand what the categories.
Oh, is it not like mean? Fellow like sound people?
No, no, no. It's everyone votes on everything. Okay. Yeah. So once you get all into the once. Academy, I think if you win, you get to get into the Academy and be a person who votes.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Which is okay. All I want. I want to vote.
I would love to vote.
I would love to put my thoughts in there.
Yeah.
Even nomination wise.
Yeah, I'm not sure who does that part. That's like the big part, I guess.
I feel like that's like movies campaign. Mm-hmm. And then for like the actors or for specific awards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm not sure like who decides the final. Maybe it's like a voting thing. Like top five, top 10. But
for like the nominees?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. A question for the future. I don't know.
Yeah.
It says like most nominations, when I searched it up, they're decided by members of the relevant branch. Or
ooh,
mostly decided.
Relevant. Okay.
So like directors nominate directors, but all voting members can nominate films for best pictures.
Okay.
But that's for the most part. So I'm sure there's like some instances where like it's not only sound who mm-hmm. vote on sound and stuff. But yeah. Should we move on to best animated short film? I don't know.
Personally,
I
have not. I don't
see
have any
of the,
opinions.
Yeah.
We can skip
Let's
over
skip that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congrats to The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. I know
I'm
nothing
sure
about
great.
You. I'm sure it was great.
Shout out to Charlie and Matthew.
Good names. Mm-hmm. Best live action short film, An Irish Goodbye. I didn't see.
Personally, did not see it, but loved the fact that they sang Happy Birthday for the actor.
Oh, really?
When he won. It was adorable.
That's really cute.
Yeah, but haven't seen that one either. Again, sure, it's a great movie.
I see it. Any thoughts on An Irish Goodbye? Or?
I do not have.
Okay.
Not a single thought.
We'll
so sorry.
An Irish Goodbye to this category.
I have been. The Irish really showed out this Oscars, though. So
they did, yeah.
Good for Ireland.
Yeah.
I thought the Jimmy
the
Kimmel
diversity.
Joke was,
yeah.
was solid. Yeah. And then Best International Feature Film went to All Quiet on the Western Front. And that won over Argentina 1985, Close, The Quiet Girl, and E.O. And I've actually seen none of these movies, so I don't really have an opinion.
I haven't either, but for some reason, I feel like All Quiet on the Western Front did not deserve it.
It's just a remake.
It's a popularity. It is a remake. That's true. I think just because it was the most popular in the category, but
war movies are just don't
something about putting a little white boy in the war movies and making them regret going to war.
Or
the
not
the Oscars
regretting.
Love that.
Yeah, they eat that up.
Like in my understanding, the original film is like extremely disturbing and like really was messed up and also an accurate representation of how just awful war is and like mm-hmm. how it just, you know, all these young people are kind of crawled into it and just suffer for like heinous reasons. I don't know if this remake emulated that.
Yeah.
I've heard things that it didn't, but I don't want to confirm that because I haven't seen the movie myself. But I have no interest in ever seeing it.
Yeah,
me neither.
War movies
I'm
just
done.
Aren't. I don't. I mean, they're not made for me.
I'm a Dunkirk defender.
Dunkirk was pretty good.
I love that movie.
I liked Dunkirk, and I also liked that it was like only a little over 90 minutes. Like, it was very short.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like length plays a big part in whether I like a movie or not. Because Elvis? Ugh.
Too long.
Too long. Too much.
Agree.
Too much.
Okay, should we move on to the next category?
Yeah, Daniel, you have some thoughts about
this.
I
have some thoughts. So, Best Animated Feature Film is next. Mm-hmm. The winner went to Pinocchio. And that one over Marcel the Shell, Puss in Boots 2, The Sea Beast, Turning Red. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, which
Turning
was
Red?
Expected, but again, maybe not
you
deserved.
You didn't like Turning Red?
No, it feels like that movie came out a long time ago.
Yeah, I thought I was
like,
surprised
didn't
that it got
come nominated?
Out in like 2020? But no, it was this year.
Oh, crazy.
I've seen all these movies except for The Sea Beast. I've heard The Sea Beast is decent, so maybe I'll check it out. But I'm very upset.
Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish deserved to win. Like, Pinocchio was, like, very well animated.
Right.
I love the care that went into it. I watched, like, the behind the scenes or whatever. And Guillermo del Toro is an amazing, beautiful man.
Truly.
But Puss in Boots, The Last Wish is literally, like, it's the best animated feature film. Like, I'm so sorry. But, like, where's
Bold
the petition
statements.
For the recount? Like, where is the protest? Where's the, when is the march? Because
what
I will be... I'll be ready. Because, like, Puss in Boots...
Where's the march?
Like, have either of you two seen Puss in Boots 2?
No.
Sorry, okay. But I believe you when you say it was... I've seen Marcel, the shell...
I liked Marcel.
With shoes on, and I loved it. I did tear up a bit, so if anything... And I saw Pinocchio, but I like Marcel the Shell better.
Interesting. Yeah. From my... I haven't seen any of them. Oops. But I don't know. I just love Guillermo, and I love stop motion. I'm like a sucker for stop motion. And I was watching an interview actually last night with Guillermo del Toro and Alfonso Cuarón and Alejandro Iñárritu, which is like... They're all besties, the and they're trifecta. All amazing. It's crazy. Yeah. All great Mexican directors. But Guillermo was talking about how, like, this movie, it's like the lighting in the movie. Like, everything about this movie, because it's stop motion, is like a live-action film. Like, yeah. The lighting and, like, the editing. Like, everything is, you know, it's, like, just as real as it would be in a live-action film. And he's like, there's no reason for animations to even be in a separate category. Like, they should just be considered as best pictures because... They are a serious medium, just like any other medium, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. So, justice for animation, just overall.
I do love how... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I agree. That's all. That is all.
I was just going to say, I do love how like, intentional Guillermo's been with, like, campaigning for, like, giving animation its flowers. Like, I think in his Golden Globes acceptance speech, he was also, like... should, like, put some respect on animation's name, which is absolutely deserved.
Yes, I love that speech. Yeah. He was like, animation, like, keep animation alive.
Yeah.
And I completely agree.
It's so good. And like, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it took him, like, 10 years to make this movie, because when he was pitching it, he was like, this is not a movie for kids. Kids can watch it, but it's not for them. It's a story about fatherhood and being a child.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I don't know, he said a lot more... eloquently than I could, but it was very interesting the way he described it. But because of that, no one wanted to make the movie for a long time.
It is a really good movie. I am glad Pinocchio won over, like, say, the Sea Beast and Turning Red. Like, I did really like Turning Red, but when I think of, like, Pinocchio and Puss in Boots The Last Wish, I feel like those are two animated... Yes, I will say its full government name. It deserves it. When I think of Pinocchio and Puss in Boots The Last Wish... I feel like those are two movies that are, like, pushing the medium of animation forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and doing, like, cool new things. And, like, Turning Red, I thought, was, like, very well written and, like, well voice acted. But it doesn't really look that different from, like, other, like, Pixar movies, like, you've seen in the past. If you know what I mean? Where, like, these two are kind of, like, pushing it forward. And Puss in Boots The Last Wish deserved, but Pinocchio is fine, I guess.
Yeah.
Puss in Boots The Last Wish outsold. That's all I have to say. Should we go to the next?
The amount of times you've said Puss in Boots Last Wish in the last 5 minutes.
Before we move on to the next category, I just need to play some ads and PSAs, and then we'll be back discussing the Oscars.
Speaking of a new music project and want to share? Apply to Music Waste! All genres, projects, and ages are encouraged to apply. Submissions close Sunday, March 5th. Go to musicwaste.ca for more info. That's musicwaste.ca.
This is a message from R-Scientia, a research cluster here at UBC. R-Scientia is a partnership between the Stuart Blusson Quantum Matter Institute, the Department of Physics and Astronomy, and the Morris and Helen Belkin Art Gallery. R-Scientia brings together artists and scientists to foster new methods of knowledge exchange that cross the boundaries of art, science, and pedagogy. This spring, R-Scientia is hosting Artist Talks with our current cohort of artists in residence. These talks, hosted at the Blusson QMI, will feature three artists who are currently working closely with the QMI, Physics and Astronomy, and Belkin to create sculptural, graphic, and written works. You can stop by to catch our first talk, which will be happening Tuesday, February 21st at 2 p.m. in room 311 at the Quantum Matter Institute. It'll be hosted by J.G. Mayer, who is a Vancouver-based multidisciplinary artist and media designer, who specializes in mixed media, web, and audio. Mer has been working in the areas of both traditional and digital contemporary art, and is a sound designer for various game studios who develop titles for publishers such as Apple, Electronic Arts, Microsoft, and Netflix. As part of his talk, Mer will present one of his major works called Chroma Chamber, a web-based new media art installation that investigates human expectations of vision and machine algorithms by programmatically collating real-time Google image results to surround the viewer with distilled color of the words they speak. You won't want to miss out on this experience at the intersection of both art and science. And stay tuned for our next two talks, which will be happening on March and April.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Fan Club with Aisia, Daniel, and Samika. And this is our 2023 Oscars coverage show. So we were just about to get into our opinions on the best documentary short.
Yes.
Is that correct? That's correct. And that went to The Elephant Whisperers.
Yeah. Indian representation. I am so glad that they won. It's a great documentary, very emotional. It was directed by Kartiki Gonsalves, and it's about a couple in a rural village who takes care of a baby elephant and just their journey. And it's absolutely beautiful because it tells the story between nature and human civilization and how we interact and how we need each other. And I think a lot of people don't know that India is such a big,
a lot of animals.
A lot of animals. The wildlife in India, the biodiversity in India is something that is not talked about enough. And I feel like this documentary, especially the fact that it was on Netflix, gave it such a big platform. And I'm so glad they won. And yeah, just glad for the South Asian representation altogether. Personally, I have not seen other of the documentaries, but I'm sure they're great as well. I think either way, I would have supported The Elephant Whisperer to win, and I'm glad they did.
Yeah. Yeah. I will check it out now that I know it's on
Netflix.
It's
really good, and you might tear up. So
I tear up? Okay.
I tear up. If any documentary or movie or TV show has an animal in it, I will tear up regardless
That's
of what
fair.
It's about.
I just really like elephants, and I do love to whisper.
Elephants are great, especially baby elephants.
Mm. Yeah, baby elephants are
adorable.
Really cute.
They're very intelligent.
Yeah. They are. Yes, animals. That's another thing about them. They show how empathetic they are and emotionally intelligent, as you said. Yeah, so highly recommend watching it tonight, right now.
Tonight, as we speak. I didn't know how much elephants pooped until I saw Babylon.
Well, I mean, they're big.
And I was like, oh, that's my true. God.
Oh my shocking God. Opening
yeah.
Scene of a movie for me, personally.
Not
and there have been many. No, that's yeah. okay.
Happened I'm in the first minute. You know?
It's making me more excited to watch it. So
yeah, get ready for a lot of elephant poop.
Okay.
Did any of us see Best Documentary Feature Film? I don't think.
No. Unfortunately not.
We're in a
uneducated
crew.
Yeah, but that went to Navalny. Hopefully I'm saying that right. And Samika, you said it was
Navalny, yes.
My bad. And you said it was about a Russian
captive, a Russian who politician who's being held captive. He is a part of the Democrat Party and kind of against Putin's regime. And he's currently being held captive. His family accepted the award for him. So it's kind of crazy just seeing his family there on the Oscar stage. And they're just I hope you get out soon. And it's kind of crazy. You can be on the Oscar stage while your husband is held captive in Russia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I've heard good things about it. And I've heard it's a very well-made documentary. Very revealing. So, but I do still want to watch it. So this is just what I've heard.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I heard All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, which was also nominated, was also pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, my documentary knowledge is quite low, so I haven't seen any of these. Mm-hmm. Aisia, do you have any thoughts?
Nope. Not
awesome.
A single thought.
Okay, Best Production Design. That went to All Quiet on the Western Front, and it won over Babylon, Avatar: The Way of Water, The Fabelmans, and Elvis.
Again, most production design.
That's what I agree. Sure.
Like, I haven't seen All Quiet on the Western Front, so I can't hate too much, but I would give it to not that movie if I were choosing.
I agree.
Yeah.
Again, nothing that hasn't been done before. A war movie with a bunch of broken houses and stuff. Cool. I don't know. I'm assuming that's what it looks like in the movie and super dark settings.
Yes.
But
I liked Babylon because I feel like when I was watching it, there's like this one sequence where it's like the day on set.
Yeah.
And you see like...
like the first day on set for Manny. Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my God, this looks so expensive and intricate. And like, yeah, that was like my first thought. So I thought it would go to that for those reasons. Or even like Avatar, The Way of Water. I feel like production design, pretty crazy.
Yeah, and they shot Babylon on site. Not like they didn't build like the first opening scene, the crazy party scene. It isn't in like a studio and they didn't like build that. Like they were actually in like some old mansion. So it just makes everything more difficult. But I don't know. Again, like I don't know what the conventions and like
parameters
of production design truly are. Like from That's the name, true. I like assume. And
I would agree
guesses.
With you when you say most. Because it's probably like how elaborate and I don't know how much money they put into it, probably.
Well, it says it recognizes achievement for art direction in film, and it actually used to be called like best art direction. Mm. So usually awarded to the best like design of like a film set kind of thing.
So All Quiet on the Western Front maybe shouldn't have won. I don't know. Gonna put it out there.
Yeah. In my uninformed opinion, I will say I don't support that win.
Honestly, I was going to say the Elvis. Elvis was also pretty good in terms of production design.
I'd agree.
But, I mean, I'm an Elvis hater till I die, so. So I don't care if they didn't win, but I got to be honest, the production design was pretty sick.
Yeah, but also they are just a lot of work.
I know what you're going to say,
but it's like a big budget movie that is working off of like recreating situations, which is not easy, but I think again that stuff gets awarded a lot.
I agree, biopics, yeah.
Yeah.
Oscars love biopics.
Yeah, they really do. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised we'll get there, but I was like Austin really could win cuz they love a biopic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get into that.
Best visual effects. I don't have a ton of opinions on this. It went to Avatar, The Way of Water over Batman, Wakanda Forever, Top Gun Maverick, and All Quiet on the Western Front. I mean, I feel like Avatar, they literally created a new technology for
the movie. That is true.
So I
sure,
like,
why not?
Yeah, and I don't think at any point watching that movie I was like, these special effects are bad.
That is true. I watched a movie under...
What?
under the influence?
That's okay.
Watch a movie. I'm legal. Under the influence. And it was crazy. I loved the visual effects. Oh, it was in 3D. Maybe that's what contributed to it.
Yeah, I saw it in IMAX 3D.
Yes. So, yeah, I agree. Honestly, gonna put it out there. Avatar deserved it.
What does our resident Avatar hater think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked good. Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
I literally, I don't know. Just I.
Bro,
don't
come
talk to
on,
me about Avatar.
Like, the whales, bro, they're sick.
The whales. Tanak,
what are they called? Tacoons?
Tanak.
I don't know.
The
overall
is the villain
terrible
Wakanda
movie.
Forever.
Terrible hair design.
What?
Terrible
oh my
movie.
God. Okay, hair design. I agree.
That's a visual.
Yeah,
effect.
That was crazy.
But I will defend Avatar too. The hair design was awful.
The little white boy with the dreads. What was that about?
No,
dreads. The cornrows.
Like James was so wrong
the, like,
for that.
Jerry, oh, like real. The freaking no. perms. Like what was going on?
James was deeply unserious for that choice.
Deeply unserious.
Also, I thought the like you know the pretty princess girl. Like, you know, the glove interest.
Oh, yeah.
She looked kind of weird to me. I don't know. Something about the animation
of
her.
It was like, she was kind of snatched.
No, the actress who plays her is like stunningly, beautifully, gorgeous.
And it's based on how they kind of look in real life, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. I just thought they would harness more of her stunningly, beautiful gorgeousness in real life into, like, kind of like they do with Zoe Saldana into Neytiri, you know?
That's fair.
I digress.
Fair. I just thought the visual effects for that movie were solid. I was like,
yeah,
it makes sense. How am I watching what I'm watching right now? I kind of wish I was under the influence for that film.
I mean, you can watch it again.
One of the best experiences of my life.
Well,
okay. Best music. So, original score. Mm-hmm. That went to Quiet on the Western Front.
Like, I've heard the music from that, or the score from that movie, and it's sawi. I would disagree on that one. Babylon. Actually, okay, upon reflection, I'm like, do I like the music from Babylon? Maybe not, but does it really fit the movie and propel the movie forward?
Yes, I think so.
So I think Babylon deserved that for that reason. Mm-hmm. Even though now that I think about it, some of those songs are very goofy sounding to me.
And just for those listening, the other nominees were Babylon, like Icia said, Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and The Fablemans. I would agree with you, Icia. I feel like the Babylon score, a little goofy at times, but I thought it was very memorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some of the more like gentler like music parts I really liked. But I don't know. I kind of liked the score. I mean, I haven't seen All Quiet on the Western Front, but I kind of liked the score in all of these movies. I really liked the score in The Fablemans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think, Salma?
No thoughts. No thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair. That's all I have to say.
Valid.
Shout out to Justin Hurwitz. He's won before, though. I think he won for
La La Land.
La La Land?
He must.
Whiplash.
Maybe both.
I would say both.
I'm a Whiplash.
Whiplash
big
girly
fan. I'm a La La Land question mark.
La La Land questioner. Whiplash fan.
Yeah.
Yes. Best original song. That went to Natu Natu from RRR. Which I unfortunately have not seen. I really want to see it, but you saw it.
No.
Yeah, RRR, classic Bollywood film. It has the dancing, the action, the unrealistic fighting scenes with tigers. And that's kind of what makes a Bollywood film so unique, I feel. The song Natu Natu, it was so influential. First, within India, we have people like dancing to the song in theaters. Bollywood is big on cinema, so people go to the cinema to purely dance to music, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, and Natu Natu was one of the I'm so glad it got recognition, because there have been like a lot of songs. I mean, personally, not my type of music, and I feel like I've liked other Bollywood songs more. But this is a Telugu song. I personally don't speak Telugu. It's from a region in India called Andhra Pradesh. And Telugu, the fact that Telugu music is being recognized is absolutely huge for Indians. And I just wanted to speak about, but I do want to speak about their performance at the Oscars. Because it was great. The singers were great. But then it was just a bunch of white people dancing in the back. And I was like, what is going on? And they're like doing a classic Bollywood dance. And it looks so odd.
They didn't get like all Indian dancers?
No. Like the two of the main dancers were Indian, but everyone behind them was white. I was like, this is so weird.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, lack of South Asian representation in the actual performance, which I found really weird. And it also made me feel highly uncomfortable when I saw the one. I don't know, just something about them dancing to Bollywood music makes me cackle.
Yeah, that's very weird that they couldn't have just gotten the performers from the movie to come and do it. Like, I mean, it's the Oscars.
I know, but
they have the budget.
Very happy they won.
I loved the acceptance speech. That was my favorite acceptance speech.
Yes, when he sang it,
loved it.
Yeah.
And everyone was so into it. It was amazing.
Yeah, I'm really glad. I mean, no hate to Rihanna or Lady Gaga, but I'm so glad. For some reason, I just love when popular artists lose.
It's very fair.
Yeah.
I'm really glad Natu Natu won, even though I haven't seen the movie, just because apart from maybe like This Is a Life from Everything Everywhere All at
Mitski.
Once, all of them are, all the other songs are so like slow.
I agree.
And kind of boring.
I didn't like them personally.
Yeah, usually this category win is like if it's a Bond movie will always win.
Yes.
I think it's always won best song if the Bond movie happens that year, like Billie Eilish won last year.
Yeah.
Nothing comes to mind when I think of that song.
Yeah,
truly.
It's a nice change of pace. Just like something fun.
It's like, it's an actual original song. Like, yeah, it's a good original song that is, that makes a movie a movie. Because it's, the song is, like, performed in the movie as well. Whereas all these other songs are performed maybe, like, when the titles come on in the end.
Like the credits.
So I feel like that's what it should be about.
What's the term? It's diegetic. I learned this in Film 100 when I took it in first year. There's diegetic sound. Yes, that's when it exists in the context of the story.
Yes,
and the non-diegetic is like, you know, it's
Natu,
just
Natu,
magic.
Diegetic as hell.
Shout out to diegetic songs.
Shout out to M.M. Kiarvani, a legend.
Yeah, great. Okay,
good win. One of the happy, nice, awesome wins of the night.
Yeah,
yes, I agree. Really, I think awesome. It was the only performance of the night that got a standing ovation. So just had to put that out there. Everyone was like, whoa, taken aback by how epic it was. So yeah,
amazing.
I think we can move on
let's move on.
Maybe play some more ads and show promos, and then we will get into our last third of the show, where we will be talking about the big awards.
The big ones.
It's alive. Megamall's debut EP, Escape from Lizard City, goes live on Friday, July 1st. Buy the cassette and lyric book on Bandcamp or stream wherever you listen to music. For the last 2.5 years, you could avoid everyone except yourself. Welcome to Lizard City. Oh, I see the love thinking over time.
One hour of happy, happy, fun time music, Fridays at 12 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. One hour of happy, happy, fun time music, Fridays at 12 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
And unfortunately, we're all human. Except me, of course.
Hello, hello. Oops, sorry. I'm doing some technical juggling. You're listening to CITR. Thank you, thank you. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Fan Club, and we are talking about the Oscars that happened this past Sunday. What is the next section we're going to be covering?
Next, we're talking about Best Film Editing. That went to Everything Everywhere All at Once, and that went over Top Gun, Tar, Elvis, and Banshees of Inisherin. How do we feel?
I would say editing is one of those things that you don't necessarily think about unless you're, like, looking out for it, if it's done well. Unless it's, like, you know, such a, like, you know, in Everything Everywhere All at Once, it's very flashy. In Elvis, it's very flashy and disorienting, in my opinion. So it makes sense, I think, that Everything Everywhere All at Once won, especially since they did it on, like premiere.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did it on very low budget, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, which is why I kind of like the win for Everything Everywhere All at Once for this, just because I feel like because they had such a limited budget and not a ton of, like, CGI, like, a lot of the effects and kind of, like, your suspension of disbelief when watching the movie is because of the film editing. So
yeah, purely based on talent. So I completely agree with this category. I feel like should have won. Elvis was really good. I must say, honorable mention to Elvis's editing, but I think Everything Everywhere All at Once kind of killed this category.
What do you think, Isia?
I will say it is very most as well.
Definitely.
And it is very flashy. And the movie is just flat. Like, it makes it, the movie is very flashy, so it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But again, like, I'm not, I don't know, I just don't have a lot of technical knowledge on editing, and it's not something that I really think about a lot unless it's noticeably bad, like it was in Bohemian Rhapsody. or it's like, used as a very obvious, like, stylistic choice. Like, it wasn't Elvis, where it's just, like...
Yeah.
It was crazy, you know?
I wonder why Banshees and Tar were edited. Like, I thought, actually...
I agree. I didn't even know why they were nominated.
Well, that's probably because those are, like... You know, like, I'm sure editors know why
that
those
is
are nominated.
There's probably something we... innocent
plebs, plebeians,
plebs.
And I guess Tar. Yeah. I don't know if either of you've seen Tar, but I feel like
I love Tar.
Does play like kind of a. I could see it being nominated just because of like the like Tar's past haunting her, like in kind of those sequences. I could see the editing shining through, but
yeah.
Best cinematography went to All Quiet on the Western Front, and that went over Empire of Light, Elvis, Tar, and Bardo. I think there were some snubs here, but I don't have a ton of opinions, but I see it. I know you do.
I'm not going to say that Tar was snubbed, but I will say one thing I really liked about Tar is because it's a very gray movie, there's not a lot of color involved. I think that takes away a lot of... Like, I think color can really be a crutch, and a lot of people, when they're like, ah, the cinematography in this movie was awesome, is like, oh, it was. I like the color grading, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or like they liked just the way it looked. Like color wise, and I think because Tar was so gray, there was so much like it just forces you to lean on composition more, which is cool, and I think it's just harder to pull off like a gray image that looks beautiful than it is to pull off like something that's like technicolor and fun. But also like All Is Quiet on the Western Front is part also a very gray movie, so I could see why they would win if it was visually interesting. I have not seen it. And Bardo, I have not seen yet either, but I mentioned that interview I watched earlier, and they play the opening scene from that movie, and it's a really interesting scene where it's basically you see the shadow of someone who's running and then kind of starts to fly for a bit and gets drawn back to the ground. And I can't even imagine how they filmed that or how they figured out to make that. So it seems like there was some crazy cinematography in that. But again, is it most or is it the best? Who knows?
A question.
It's always a question. Western Front had an unexpected sweep at the Oscars.
Yeah, literally, the Oscars went to like three movies this year.
That is true. Yeah.
Sad.
Okay, just to make sure we have time to talk about all of them, maybe we can combine the screenplay awards. And that went to Everything, Everywhere, All at Once for original and Woman Talking for best adapted.
No arguments here, personally.
Speak your truth, Isia.
I would have given it to Banshees for best original. I'm just thinking of what I could read and get everything from. Like, I think Everything Everywhere All at Once leans a lot on the visual, which is fine because it's a movie and it's a visual medium. But I don't know, just the dialogue in Banshees. I was like, I love that movie.
True. Yeah. It was a very well-written script.
Yeah, and like Martin McDonagh is like, he's a playwright, so it makes sense.
Oh,
like, that's his original field.
Yes.
And a lot of his movies do feel like plays, actually, which some people don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Fablemans is just not like, I think that whole movie is crazy to me. Every time I remember that it happened to him, I'm like, this is
and he wrote all
very
this down.
Psychological. Like,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
That's like his mom. Like, he would like cry a lot on set because
oh my god. This is new information to me. Kind of changes my perspective on what I've just
like,
watched.
Therapy.
Yeah. Oh. It's just
kind of projecting his own feelings into his projects.
Literally.
It's about his childhood. Like,
I mean, I did not know that.
And I honestly, for original, I thought all the movies nominated were very well written. So like Triangle of Sadness, Banshees, Fableman's Tar. I do remember thinking like all these ones are really well written. I do kind of agree with you, Isia. I feel like the visuals and the performances stood out for me more than necessarily like the dialogue itself for Everything Everywhere, but
it's very on the nose, which is fine, but I don't know.
Just a question, was it Steven Spielberg's childhood or Tony Kushner?
Steven Spielberg's. Whoa. Yeah, Tony Kushner is his like writing partner on a lot of his movies. But yeah. It's about that's why it's like crazy. It's about him finding out his mom cheating on his like.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into that, but
true.
Psychologically, it's a very interesting movie to me when I think about
very insane
the reality of it all. Oh. I don't know.
Okay.
And then best adapted, that went to Sarah Polley for Women Talking. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I would
me
agree.
Personally, as an ally of women, I always support when women speak. Yeah. Just wanted
love
to
that. Love when women speak. Yeah. Daniel just putting it out there. Women should speak more. Yeah.
Talking, yes. Whispering, yelling, whatever, all the iterations.
Reaching. Women. Yeah.
I did really like her speech, though. She seemed very confident, very funny.
Okay.
It was a great,
yeah,
great speech.
I agree.
Yeah.
Very well-spoken.
Well-spoken, yeah. So I think she probably deserved more than she got, but. Yeah.
She deserved more.
Well, just because, like, best director and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, true. She, like, got a bit.
So I was happy she got, like, something. But, okay,
but
now we're moving into.
I just want to add a snub for the nominees. Yes. After Sun, best original screenplay.
True.
Very fair.
That's
very
true.
Fair.
I feel like, yeah, just the overall
Charlotte
snub.
Wells wrote that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Overall snub for After Sun.
Editing
at the
too,
Oscars.
I'd say.
Yeah,
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
That is true. And cinematography.
Cinematography,
yeah,
with all the strobing, like, you know, when the strobing light,
yeah,
and all of that, those scenes. Yeah, I think After Sun was, like, the biggest nominee snub this Oscars.
Yeah, and
personally.
Nope to me.
Yeah,
nope,
cinematography,
yes.
I thought.
Yeah,
so
and
true.
I agree, yeah.
And
After
Kiki
Sun
Palmer,
and Nope.
I want.
What a,
like,
queen. I feel,
yeah,
like she should have at least been nominated for Best Supporting Actress, but we are going to get into Best
we'll
Supporting Actress.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay,
maybe
let's move.
The big ones are Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress. For Best Supporting Actor, it was Ki-Hoo Kwon, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Definitely,
yes,
agree.
Sir.
I think this was a really strong category, too.
I agree.
Like, honestly,
yeah,
anyone could have won, and I would have been like, I understand, and that's good. But Ki is just like...
He's a king. And he's so, like, that, I mean... If, even if you think of, like, his Oscar campaign, too, because I feel like the Oscar winners, like, the campaigning is a big part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
His whole, like, campaign and, like,
so wholesome.
Precursor awards run, so wholesome.
He,
I loved all his Instagram, yeah, selfies. Sorry,
his,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, he's what the industry needs. Like,
yeah,
just a genuine person. But other than that, his acting in the film was
insane, really good.
Considering he was not in the industry for so long, and he probably has less experience despite his age compared to all these actors, he gave, like, an outstanding performance and definitely was, like, the main reason I started sobbing in the movie theater. His line, in another life, I would do laundry and taxes with, I would just be happy doing laundry and taxes with you, broke me. Best delivery.
Best delivery.
Yeah,
yeah.
So...
Speaking
massively
of deserved.
Highlight of
speaking movie. Of deserved.
How do we feel about Best Supporting Actress, which went to Jamie Lee Curtis over Angela Bassett, Carrie Condon, Stephanie Hsu, Hong Chau?
Literally could have gone to anyone else and I would have been happy.
Yeah.
Actually, like,
concur.
Love Angela and Carrie a lot, and Stephanie. Haven't seen The Whale, but Hong Chau seems cool.
She was great in The Whale.
Could have gone to anyone else, and it would have
been
good.
I didn't know why she was nominated, personally.
Because she's
politics,
famous.
She is a Nepo baby.
She's a Nepo baby.
But I think we can all agree that this was not a... not a deserved win. Why? I don't know. I just didn't... Personally, I thought even in Everything Everywhere All at Once... Stephanie Hsu made the movie what the movie is today. She deserved it, in my opinion. If it was between her and Jamie, I don't even know why Jamie got nominated. But she was good. Angela Bassett, in my opinion, should have won.
Me too. Like, I liked all the... Like, if we remove Jamie Lee Curtis, I agree with what you said in kind of our pre-show notes, Icia, where it's, like, such a strong category. Like, if you remove Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
Like, no disrespect to her. Well, disrespect. Disrespect
Jamie
to her.
Jamie with K.K. Palmer.
Yeah. Honestly, I'd put Kiki in lead, but I feel like that's another story.
It's...
Oh, true.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, I would have loved to see it go to any other of these actresses.
Yeah. Right before they announced it, I had this, like, sinking feeling in my stomach, and I was like, oh, I just know what's going to happen.
And Angela Bassett's, like, reaction to losing was so sad because it was like she knew. And then I did really like that Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors, when they were presenting the next category.
Yeah, they gave her a nod.
Yeah,
hey,
gave
auntie.
Her a little shout out. Yeah, that was really
love
sweet.
Love that, yeah.
Also, just shout out to Barry Keegan in Banshees,
yes,
for supporting.
Yes.
I agree. Loved him
I
so
love
much.
Him. I want him to win eventually, like next year or something.
I think
something else.
Personally, he was my favorite part of the movie, like his character.
Yeah.
And Jenny... Special
where's her
Jenny.
Oscar?
Yeah, where's
Jenny's
Oscar?
So glad they brought Jenny out.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's let's get to the best actor and actress since we're running out of time. How do y'all feel?
I'm not mad about Brendan Fraser. I would have loved to see it go to Colin Farrell.
Same. Hard agree. Or Paul Mescal.
Paul Mescal.
One of the Irish
was great. One of the Irish men.
I would have been happy.
Yes. So I think we can all. Yeah.
But I'm happy for.
As long as it wasn't Austin Butler, we're good, you know?
Yeah.
I think about that man.
I think he was good in the movie, but biopic win, boring.
Yeah. Boring.
And Michelle winning, obviously.
Michelle.
I mean, Michelle Yeoh. Michelle Williams
Michelle
did not
Yeoh,
win.
Right?
Michelle Yeoh.
Because there's another Michelle in the category.
Yeah.
I would have, if Cate Blanchett won, I would have been like, that makes sense. But Michelle winning.
I think it was such an emotional moment for me for some reason. I was just so happy because I think the only uncertain thing about the Oscar was whether Kate or Michelle would win.
Mm-hmm.
So glad Michelle won. Very happy with that.
Yeah.
No arguments there at all.
It makes sense on like every, like as like a social thing.
Yeah.
Her performance on its own and then also like her career as a whole. Okay. Like she deserves
it. Iconic career, truly.
But also just because I don't like career awards at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, just give people awards based on how good they were in the movie. And she was great. So.
Yeah. Okay.
If I had to remove any of the nominees, though, I'd replace Ana de Armas and Andrea
Garbo
with Viola Davis and Danielle Deadwyler.
Completely agree. What is Ana de Armas doing there? I don't know. Kind of a sneak.
A little bit.
Okay.
Best director.
Okay.
That also went to the Daniels. I know
Isia
has some strong opinions about
this,
so
why don't you
go
like
ahead?
Yeah. I would like to know.
Okay. I don't even have a good reason for this. I just think they're annoying. Sorry.
Fair enough.
Especially the white one, as you said.
Oh my God. You're exposing me. Also, okay, I'm sorry. Just mentioning imposter syndrome in an Oscar speech is like, get a grip.
That is true.
Get a grip. You're getting
crazy.
An Oscar.
Don't say that.
Yeah, I like Daniel Kwan's speech. I did not like that Daniel Sheinert said mommies in his speech. Why do you say mommies? That's a weird word.
Stand up, king. Grow up.
But I really liked that Daniel Kwan was like, hey, kid, don't expect to get an Oscar. This is really weird and intense. I'm like, that's true.
Yeah.
So I just don't think, I don't know. I just don't. It was my favorite movie, I think, of all this is Banshees.
And which is fair.
It would have gone to that in my world. Fablemans would have. I would have been happy with Fablemans or Tar.
Yeah.
Personally.
And again, big snub in this category, Charlotte Wells.
Charlotte Wells.
Best
it is looking
directorial
a little too male for me.
Debut, personally.
True. I would have loved to see The Woman King in here too, because I thought that it was really well directed.
Because they were nominated for a lot of like awards before the Oscars, but I think they got completely snubbed for the Oscars.
Yeah, it was directed by Gina Prince-Bythewood. And yeah, I thought that was like a really well-directed movie, especially like the action, like the action sequences.
It's like big production.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love all the movies here, but yeah, it's looking a little male.
I would replace Avatar with Nope, Top Gun with the movie you were just talking about.
I don't think Avatar got nominated for a director.
It did. Oh, no, I'm looking at Best Picture. Oops.
Oh.
Oops. Awkward.
I moved on.
Director.
Move on.
Yes.
Yeah, let's move on. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I would have replaced Avatar with Nope,
okay.
Top Gun with The Woman King, and Triangle of Sadness with After Sun, and All's Quiet with something else.
Personally, I would have replaced Fablemans with After Sun.
I'm a Fablemans defender till I die.
I
for some reason, it just
too.
Didn't click with me. But
that's fair.
I truly believed. Yeah. Again, I'm gonna put it out there. After Sun, big snub.
Snubbed. Yeah.
But
snubbed.
Very happy that Everything Everywhere All at Once won. And I know people have differing opinions here.
We don't have time. We have to end now. I will just say I do not. I like Everything Everywhere All at Once. I do not think it's the best movie ever. And it lost a lot of steam for me the second time I saw it. But I get it. It's a great movie. Made everyone cry, including me. Tar, Fablemans, and Banshees Leaving with zero awards.
That was
makes
kinda
me
crazy.
Deeply
yeah.
sad. But it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I'm my final thoughts, and I really wish we had 2 hours today, but it's fine. Everything Everywhere All at Once, not the best movie ever, but I did love it, and I'm really glad it won Best Picture because I feel like it was the rare movie of the year that was a box office hit, but was also completely original film, and I think it bodes well for a smaller film compared to old film. And I think it bodes well for future movies being awesome.
So. Yes, completely agree.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course, it was so fun.
Yes, hopefully we can maybe do another show with the three of us again, just talking about some of these movies in more detail outside of the dumpster fire that is the Oscars and the Academy. But for now, that's all, folks. You were listening to Fan Club with Icy and Daniel and our special guest, Samika. And we will be back next week at 2 p.m., as usual, on Tuesdays. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.